How many of you own a pair of these? Ted. Any of you own oxen or sheep even? Nobody? Do any of you have neighbors that own oxen or sheep? Oh, a little bit.
Not my neighbor, my daughter.
Your daughter. Oxen too?
Nope, just
no,
sheep.
Just sheep. Okay. No oxen. No oxen. So how are you going to understand today's text if you don't own any oxen or have any neighbors that own oxen? And you say, well, what's today's text? We'll get to that. But the text is actually related to our past two Sundays when we've been focusing on the compassion of Jesus. Now, about your love for one another. We do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Key scripture from our last two Sundays. Key scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Been taught by God to love each other. And how exactly have we been taught by God? And what is love? Well, I'm glad you asked. This is how we know what love is. See that? Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? 1 John 3:16. How are we taught of God? We look to Jesus. Jesus lived compassion. And all these scriptures, two Sundays ago, we went through briefly and looked at them and read them and considered them. We also considered these passages where Jesus, through His mouth, taught compassion. This one here is the story, parables, usually the word we use, of the Good Samaritan, quote unquote. The Good Samaritan saw that man who had been beaten lying on the side of the road, and he felt compassion for him. Same thing with Luke 15, especially verse 20. The Father, we were focusing on the Father. The Father saw that wandering son who had gone off and blown his inheritance and was coming back. And what is it? How does it describe the Father? He felt compassion for him and brought him into his arms and hugged him and kissed on him. And then Jesus taught compassion through the Holy Spirit as He was guiding Paul to write this: be kind and compassionate to one another, Ephesians 4:32. And one example and one way to do that is forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. We didn't focus on the last half as much as we did, just pointing out that word compassionate. Some of your translations might say tenderhearted. Tenderhearted means well-compassioned. Not just compassion, but well-compassioned. Showing an abundance, an overflowing with compassion. Another key verse besides that, Thessalonians 1. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Here Jesus is teaching involvement, proactive. We looked at several ancient philosophies, Confucianism, Socrates, Hinduism, Buddhism. Many of those philosophies were around before Jesus came upon the earth, which tells me that the Gentiles had some inkling of this concept of kindness and compassion and love taught to them somehow or some way, probably through righteous people through those ages. But they didn't quite get it right. We could sum up their philosophies like this: do not hurt someone else if you do not want to be hurt. Remember that from last week? And we pointed out that a mannequin can do that. A crash test dummy can do that. Because they don't go out and try to find ways to hurt somebody, right? They're incapable of it. Are you a higher form of a mannequin? Are you greater than a mannequin or a crash test dummy? Well, then do this here. Be proactive. Be involved. And this was the tough part. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. And we can sum up the principle Jesus was teaching by this right here. The more we come to know people, the more likely we will become concerned with their well-being. And sadly, hopefully there's no one here like this, and hopefully it's not me. Sadly, we might shy away from coming to know people because we do not want to be concerned with their well-being. And we may not come out and say that. But in our actions, we describe that, and we perpetuate that thought. So the danger is isolation, brethren. Do not isolate ourselves. One way we can do that, we had a little tidbit of exhortation, is through our cell phones. Your cell phone has already replaced your watch, your camera, your calendar, alarm clock, and to some extent TV, because you can watch movies on it. Please do not let it replace your family. That means your physical family, your church family, or your community. The church family is a community, isn't it? And I'm thinking of even your physical community around you, where you live. Let's not let it replace that. We summed up that whole discussion on the compassion of Jesus using that illustration of the boy in Michigan who got up late in the morning. He overslept, and his mom was already at work, and she had taken his cell phone away. And being a 14-year-old boy, riding the bus or however he got to school, he didn't know how to get to his own high school. He wanted to ask directions, so he knocked on a neighbor's door. This just happened a week ago. I'm not making this up. This is current event. 2 weeks ago now. Thanks, Mary. And he knocked on a neighbor's door. I don't know how close that neighbor was. And the man of the house picked up a shotgun and shot at him as he's running off, because he saw the man pick it up. So, you know, we can criticize the boy. We can criticize the homeowners. We are going to criticize the homeowners because they had a system, a security system, not only video but audio, caught the woman saying some prejudicial things, some racist things. So it was racist motivated. There's hatred there. And I was making the point using that to help us think about the fact that if we just added the ingredient of compassion, if there was a heart of compassion in that whole situation, the guy wouldn't have been arrested. I'm glad he was, and he should be. But he did not obviously have a heart of compassion and love and concern. All he needed to do was say, or the woman needed to say, hey, young man, what's your mom's number? We'll call her and ask her if I can take you to school. Something like that. But their reaction is not a reaction of compassion and love, is it? And through this series, we've related current events that show us in our society there is a huge lack of love and compassion and concern for one another. And that's what our topic is today. There's a related topic that compassion and kindness and love are demonstrated in common courtesy. Or we could put it this way. Common courtesy is one way, and it might be just little acts of kindness that demonstrate compassion and love and kindness to others. And it's in this verse right here. Deuteronomy 22:1. If you see your fellow Israelites' ox or sheep straying, that's why I asked you this question, do not ignore it, but be sure to take it back to its owner. So we read that, and folks, that is a small scripture, but there's big takeaways in there. Okay? Big takeaways. And one reaction to that might be, well, hey, we as children of God today in Christ are not bound to the law of Moses. And that is in the law of Moses. That is a reiteration in Deuteronomy. He's retelling the law to that second generation that's going to end up going into Canaan. So it really doesn't apply to us. And my response to that would be, you're right in a way, in a sense, but we've got to remember something. Specifically, that may not apply to us, but we've got to remember that there are principles from the Old Testament and from the law of Moses that transcend all ages. Do you know what that means? Covers all ages. They're true no matter when they exist. They existed back then, they exist now, they exist in the future. There's a principle, there is an attitude, there is a theme, and it's called love, that's applicable to all mankind, no matter who they are, no matter how old they are, no matter where they live, no matter when they live, because love has always existed. How is God described in the Bible? God is love. Is that correct? Is God eternal? Is love eternal? It is. 1 Corinthians 13 points that out to you. And remember this, God taught proper behavior and respect for others on every level. If we looked in Deuteronomy 21 or 22 and other chapters and into Exodus and into Leviticus and even into Numbers, we're going to find this principle here, return the ox. We're going to find compassion principles, how to demonstrate love. We're going to find respect. God's teaching his people back then respect even for plants and animals. You find down in Deuteronomy 22:6, if you come across a bird's nest on the road, either in a tree or in the ground, and the mother is sitting on the young or the eggs, do not take the mother with the young. You may take the young, but be sure to let the mother go so that it may go well with you and you may have a long life. Animals, respect for strangers, respect for neighbors and community. And there's a verse that we just read that deals with that. Family, the latter part of 22 actually deals with immorality and sexual immorality and all of that. That's teaching them how to respect family and the husband and wife relationship. He taught them how to respect leaders and elders and government and all the way up, as we say, to God. And when we respect and love all of this down here, we are showing and demonstrating our love for him, right? Jehovah God. He did that with his children. And speaking of there's a reason that they are called the children of Israel. Are you with me in Deuteronomy 22? Everybody have their Bibles open? Deuteronomy 22. There's a reason the word children is used, because children have a tendency to make excuses for why they have to do something or not do something, right? They want to know from their parents, how far do I have to go with that instruction that you just gave me, right? And test and push. So can you see the Israelites saying, well, okay, I see an ox that's wandering around, but what if I don't know who the owner is? And what does the Lord say? If they do not live near you, or you do not know who owns it, take it home with you and keep it until they come looking for it. Then give it back. Well, okay, but what if it's not an ox? What if I find something that's not an ox wandering around? Verse 3, then the Lord says, do the same if you find their donkey or their cloak, or anything else they have lost. Do not ignore it. Is the Lord covering everything here? Do the Israelites have any excuses or wiggle worms or wiggle holes to get out of? No. No. He's covering all the bases in this. It's just fascinating. Look at this, folks. He's spelling it out to them, but look at this. Oh, there's the spelling out. If you do not know who owns it, take it home with you, then give it back. Common courtesy was built into the fabric of God's laws to the Jews. I love that visual. Woven into the fabric of God's laws to the Jews. Common courtesy, little kindnesses woven in there. This principle's in there. Look out for the well-being of your neighbor. Why do you want to do this? Why do you want to look out for the well-being of your neighbor? Because it's befitting a servant of God. What's that mean? It fits a servant of God. That's what a servant of God should be all about, is looking out for the well-being of your neighbor. So if it's a lamb, do I take it back to its owner? Yeah, take it back. How about a sheep? That guy has a bad attitude, doesn't he? Return the sheep, if you know who the owner is. If it's a donkey, return the donkey. And there's more acts of kindness here in Deuteronomy 22. So let's think about the opposite. Let's go to current events again and think about the opposite of little acts of kindness. And it happened last Sunday in the morning, and I didn't use it in our compassion talk, but it was the guy who went into the Waffle House, Nashville, Tennessee area, correct? And murdered four people. Two outside the Waffle House, two inside. Have they caught him yet? Yeah? Brittany, yeah? Okay. I didn't hear that. Because he was on the run for a bit. And you say, well, so what? We're hearing more and more about that every day in our news. The Parkland shootings in Florida. How about the guy a few years ago who went into the Denver movie house? Killed a bunch of people. How about the guy in Las Vegas? Mowed down a lot of people there, didn't he? Now, the interesting thing about these cases, I don't know about the Las Vegas guy, but there's been research that a lot of these shooters, many of them are young males, you know what an interesting factor that comes up in the lives of these guys? As they were growing up, they had no fathers. I mean, they have fathers, but they had no fathers in their lives. Right? Even if they did, would those fathers have taught them right from wrong? That's the question. You know what another common theme is? I guarantee you, is that they had no heavenly father. Most of these guys have probably been taught by our lovely public school system, which is teaching them that they are a byproduct of an accident. Therefore, they have no accountability to a higher being, to a higher designer, right? And when you have no God to answer to, then what do you place on the throne where Christ should be? Yourself. That's right. So it's self. Self, 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 selfishness. Selfishness destroys. When you're in the pathway of selfishness, it becomes a dark path. And that's where a lot of these, you just can imagine a lot of these young men have gone down to that path. They've soaked their minds in who knows what. But we know it's darkness. Probably get involved in sin. And as Matt Walsh has said, and I've quoted Matt Walsh before, a culture of sin leads to a culture of death. This me-first attitude. Now I understand why Jesus taught his disciples over and over, those who want to be first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And why Jesus got down on his hands and knees and washed the feet of his disciples. This really didn't become clear to me, believe it or not, until this year when I started aiding on a special needs bus. So we send our special needs kids to school, and then we go pick up four or five kids. I call it the brat run. They are behavior issues. They are kindergartners, or maybe first grade. And we have to collect them and take them, this is in the morning, over to LU, Lucille Umbarger over there in Burlington. And there's this one particular girl, I can't use her name, I'll just call her Sally. Before Sally gets on, I've got two little boys that when we pull up to Sally's house, one of them pipes up, "I see Sally first!" And the other one says, no, I see Sally first. No, I saw Sally first. I kid you not. And it escalates. And the volume gets louder. And they're screaming at each other. And I try different methods. You know, the calm voice. Or I bark at them. And then my bus driver, Lisa Latham, some of you know her. She has a real calm voice. And they don't listen to her at all. So she gets on the mic on the bus. Boys, you will not be getting off the bus first if you keep that up. So that's another thing we have. We have to assign the seats. This is Monday seat, this is Tuesday seat, this is Wednesday seat. And they all sit in the same seat every day so that when they get to Lucille Lumbarger, they're not getting up at the same time because they want to be first to get off the bus. It's all about first, me first, me first. And they're kindergartners arguing over who saw Sally first. Now I understand why Jesus knows human, he knows the human mind, doesn't he? He knows our hearts. He knows we are prone to want to be first. That's where pride comes in the way. Pride gets in the way there. Oh man, look at today's Bible bite. Thanks for reading that, Rich. My heart overflows with a good theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Psalm 45:1. If what we say comes from our hearts, Matthew 15:8. Now, Matthew 15:8 is not just referring to words. 15:18. Let the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. So the things that come out of the mouth, they can be words, but they're also, verse 19, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries. So it's not just words, but it's actions. Fornications or sexual immoralities, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, Jesus says. Those are the things. That's Matthew 15:8. Luke 6:45. Our Bible bite addresses that. But first he says, a theme is a recurring idea that pervades our lives. What is the theme of your life? Is it joy? Is it hope and peace? Bitterness and complaining? We could say selfishness, a lack of desire to serve, thinking about ourselves all the time instead of others. Your words speak the theme that overflows from your heart. Jesus says, Luke 6:45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What's in your heart? What's in our heart? Let's ask ourselves that. What is in our heart? What is the theme of your heart? I like that. I'm borrowing that from Scott Beyer. I like that. Let's ask ourselves that this week. What is the theme of our heart? What is the theme? Let's do some modern application. Maybe you don't see your neighbor's donkey or your neighbor's ox wandering down the road, but have you ever found a drop wallet, make the efforts to return it? Or forgotten sunglasses? Or an abandoned coat? A couple months ago, I found two pairs of sunglasses in a span of a week. And they were at a place where there was nowhere to return them. I think one was at a street fair or something. The street fair cleared out. I don't know if there was a lost and found or not. So I followed Deuteronomy 22 and I hung on to them. I don't know how the owner was getting hold of me. And I even wore them. And then I ended up losing them. Both of them. I guess that's payback, huh? I was sitting at the park just the other day, where Mocha loves to chase the tennis ball. And I was giving her a break, sitting on the bench. And next to the park is a private residence, and there's a whole row of bushes down the border of the park, separating the house all the way down, corner to corner. And I just happened to look and see a football regurgitated out of the bushes. All by itself. It lands on the park. It's one of those footballs. So I get up. I thought, that is odd. I have never seen a football just appear out of thin air, which it did. So I go and I look over in the private residence, and it happens to be a bus driver I know. He lives there, and he'd seen that football. It wasn't his, so he tossed it into the park. So I've got it. Now I need to tell him, if anybody comes to your door, I forgot to tell him this, have them give you their number, and then I'll call them. Tell them I've got a football. I'm trying to do these kind of things here. I'm being thwarted. Look at 22:4. If you see your fellow's donkey, your fellow Israelite's donkey or ox fallen on the road, do not ignore it. Help the owner get it to its feet. What would this be equivalent to? Maybe helping somebody on a car breakdown, if it's safe for you, break down their car. Help them with the repair on their car. 22:8. When you build a new house, make a parapet around your roof so that you may not bring the guilt of bloodshed on your house if someone falls from the roof. We have these kind of laws built into our permitting process, don't we? Like, Kelly and I built that deck up there on Friday Creek, on that big deck off the, where we had a lot of potlucks. Remember that, Joyce? That was a lot of fun up there, wasn't it? And we had to follow certain regulations on the, those called balusters, putting the balusters on the railing. They had to be 3.5 inches, no more than that. And I know why they do that, because Evan and at least one other little boy got their head stuck in the railing out here when they were little. Luckily, we were able to pry them apart. So that, you know, that's why you do that kind of thing. Also, so they won't fall off. So, you know, there's just a lot of practical common sense, but it all gets down to being concerned about one another, common courtesy. So what are some other examples for us? Helping move. This group has been great for helping people move over the years. Clean house. That's a tough one sometimes because people are picky about, well, number one, they may not want you to see how dirty their house is. Number two, they're picky about where things go and what's used for cleaning and all that. But how about going over to, we've got a lot of older, seasoned citizens here. Maybe their eyes are a little dim. Can you go over and read to them? Or just sit and listen to somebody? Just take them on a drive. And I don't mean to the doctor's office. We have that ministry going on, right? We have the doctor's office appointment ministry here. And you all are great at that. You're great at delivering meals. I've said that 3 times, and this is the 3rd time in a row, and I appreciate that for us. We've benefited from that. Thank you. Maybe you're good at changing oil in the car. Change the oil in the car for older folk. Fix the faucets or somebody's hot water tank, right, Taylor? How can I stay tuned in to the concerns and the needs of others? Folks, there's always more room for kindness and human decency. There's always more room for mercy. There's always more room for selflessness. There's always more room for consideration, tenderness, understanding. And yes, sometimes we can get into that topic where we do so much of that that we find ourselves helping somebody and the light comes on, whoa, I'm really helping them in their sin. So then we stop. But I don't think that's the rule. I think that's an exception. Galatians 5:13 is very important, folks. Why was return the ox even in the law of Moses? Well, Paul explains that. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in what? Love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. The entire law is fulfilled in this one command, love your neighbor by yourself. Folks, we come full circle to the Good Samaritan story, don't we? Because that lawyer asked Jesus, what do I do? What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, what do you think it is? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, rightly so. He tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And then that lawyer says, well, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. the point is, the law and the prophets hang on those two things. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the underlying foundation of it all. Jesus felt compassion. The Good Samaritan felt compassion. The father with the lost son felt compassion. You know, folks, sometimes we get to arguing and haggling about what we do in our worship assembly. We spend a lot of time on that. When we think about it, it's only 1%, maybe 2% of what we do. And you say, maybe we should assemble more. Yeah, the scriptures encourages us, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But then again, it's still a small percentage of what you do in your life. What is the rest of your life involved? Brethren, it involves kingdom living and kingdom work. Are you involved in that? Kingdom living and kingdom work. Galatians 6, 9. Whoop, I have it right there. 6, 9 through 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And I, here in Mount Vernon, I think we do a great job, especially to the family of believers. Preachers and teachers over the years have emphasized that so much that I think we forget about the all men part. And we forget to look in our community. What are opportunities there which we can help others in our community in whatever it is? Always keeping in mind that it might bring an opportunity for an audience. Do you know what I mean by that? It might bring an opportunity where we can share that wonderful news of Jesus Christ. Are you filled with compassion? Do you get up each day thinking about how you're going to serve others? I don't. So I'm preaching to myself here. Start with your family, too. I know some brethren that, especially fathers, that neglect compassion shown to their children and their wife. So think about that, fathers. But then branch out. Will you remember to be engaged in the little acts of kindness that usually present themselves unexpectedly, like oxen walking down a road? Or that football flying out of the air? Who does that belong to? Looking out for the well-being of your neighbor is befitting a servant of God. And think of this, folks. Every act of selflessness matters in a selfish world.